The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Yeah, it's time for What to Watch. And joining us in studio with the recommendations of What to Watch on the big screen and small is Dee Reddy, podcast and cultural commentator, and David O'Callaghan, host of the Here and Back Again podcast. Dee, we'll kick off with you. What's your first offering?
My first pick is a film which I actually think is one of the best films I've seen in a very long time, not even this year. Went to see it. Actually, Dave was at the cinema screening that I saw it. They screened it quite early for reviewers this time around. It's called The Invite. It came out in cinemas last Friday. It is the third directorial outing for Olivia Wilde, who I love anyway. It stars Seth Rogen, Wilde herself, Penelope Cruz, and an absolutely diabolical Edward Norton. It's a real, like, it's almost like When Harry Met Sally meets Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. It all takes place in one apartment.
I cannot imagine what that is.
Well, it's a lot of fun. I can tell you that much, Ciara. It all takes part in this apartment where Seth Rogen and Wilde's characters live. They're a pretty, pretty unhappy couple. And they invite Penelope Cruz and Edward Norton, their upstairs neighbours, to come and join them for some wine and cheese. The wine never appears. And yeah, hilarity ensues. And then another invitation is brokered about halfway through and the wheels really, really come off. It's just a superbly written, absolutely phenomenally acted. Like, these are standout performances from four really, really great performers, I think.
So it's kind of like a play, is it? Like, is
it's very
all
much
set in...
like a play. So it's based on the first film. There's actually been five iterations of this movie since 2020 when the original Spanish play came out. But I believe that was based... Sorry, the original Spanish film came out, but I believe that was
based on a play.
And it does kind of show when you're watching it.
Yeah. I'm normally, when you say, oh, it looks like a play, I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that in any way as a negative at all.
No, that's me.
That's actually a selling point. I thought, yeah. that sounds quite interesting.
When I see something on the screen that is a play or could be a play, I kind of go, well, that's a play. Whereas this doesn't feel like you're watching a play. It's just, they're so good. The four of them are insanely funny. And the situations they get themselves into.
So when you say diabolical Ed Norton, you don't mean that he's bad acting in this.
Oh,
you mean
he is hamming it up, but in the best way possible. Like, this is probably my favourite performance I've ever seen Edward Norton give. Well, he's superb.
He kind of disappeared a little bit, hasn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Because like, he was 10 years ago, he was like huge. And then he's
very picky about what he wants to do, from what I've read. And this got him, and I can see why. Because
so sorry, is it comedy? Is it black comedy?
It's very, very dark comedy. Yeah,
this
for
sounds
sure.
excellent.
It is excellent here. And honestly, I would highly recommend. I know the weather isn't really cinema weather at the moment, but go see this in the cinema because. Yeah. Honestly, the experience of sitting with other people and they are laughing every 6 minutes or so is just so much fun.
It's genuinely
laugh out loud.
Okay, that's great. So many comedies are not laugh out loud.
No, you wouldn't be struggling
to find the last. Dave, what's your first one?
Oh, it's the opposite of comedy. It is. I'm doing Moana, which is now released in cinemas. So this is the live adaptation of Moana from 10 years ago. So yes, we're like, why have we got an adaptation? So yes, The Rock is in it as Maui. We all know the story of lovely Moana, who's kind of trying to save our town and this demigod. But
this was an animated little Polynesian girl.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely beautiful.
Disney, like, everyone loved her.
One of the most watched Disney movies ever, type thing. And now 10 years on, they've made a live action adaptation. And to say it's cash grab would be understated. It's quite soulless. It's
and it seems so promising.
It's take for take. Like,
the sarcasm actually has dripped from onto the desk.
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, it's there's amazing things that go on that where. So The Rock, who we all know is quite buff, is actually wearing a kind of a bodysuit over himself with tattoos and all to make himself buffier. I know.
Buffier.
And I'm like, going, what are you doing? I've seen you big in Fast and Furious. Why are you not willing to be big? Because you look ridiculous. Now, his hair is gorgeous, but it's supposed to look ridiculous. But you can't stop looking at this.
They've got live action, but they're making the live action actors more cartoonish.
Yes, it's kind of weird. And it's
it's aimed at kids. presumably.
Absolutely, it's yeah. Like a, and there's Moana stands out there who will just probably bail in anyway. But the thing is, what you'll do is you'll end up going, I'm going to go home and watch the actual good one, because this is...
Is this just not as... Because obviously, just, people did love Moana and she was considered to be a real kind of
it's take for take iconic for take Disney of the original. Heroine. Yeah, and it doesn't... The colour isn't there. There's a big thing about Lin-Manuel wrote a new song for it. That's on the end credits, not even in the film.
Didn't Lin-Manuel write the music for the
original? Yeah, he did, but he wrote a new song, but they've just tagged it on it. And it's just sad that, you know, 10 years feels like too short. And we had Moana too, don't forget, in the middle.
Okay, and I'm not trying to stick up for it or anything because I know nothing about it. But would kids like it? Because we're maybe not the target audience. Would little kids like it?
I think
on a rainy afternoon?
Well, good luck with getting a rainy afternoon. But I think they'll like it. But I guarantee you, over the next 2 weeks, you will see the numbers for Moana, the original, go up. Because what they'll do is they'll go, yeah, it's good, but it's not as good as the original. So it's kind of like, why is it here? Well, we know why it's here, but I was a bit sad watching
the
it.
The cynic in me wonders if that was the game plan all along.
Yeah, I don't
funnel them all back to the original. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Cunning okay. Speaking of how to get filthy rich by releasing films, your next choice, do you ready?
Yeah, so this aired on Channel 4 last night, so it should be available on all four now. It is from author and YouTube star Gary Stevenson. Now, people might...
And the title is How to Get Filthy Rich.
Sorry, yes, absolutely. How to Get Filthy Rich with Gary Stevenson. It's not about that at all, actually. It's quite the opposite. People might be familiar with him. He's this kind of working class guy who often goes on panel shows in the UK and really just dismantles economic theory and the sort of current status quo regards the wealth inequality in the UK, and does a really, really good job at it. He's someone who came from a very, very poor background, and then actually through scholarships, through sheer graft and being incredibly smart, managed to end up working in the city in London and working as a financier before kind of deciding that's not what he wanted to do with his life. And so this is basically his
communist manifesto.
Yeah, a little bit. It's really good though, because there's some he's funny, he manages to get the point across in a not too abrasive way, and he makes some really, really good points in like 90 minutes. He just kind of explores the world of billionaires, oligarchs, and just shows that how this growing wealth inequality is only going to get bigger and bigger. And actually, rather than just showing that, actually suggests ways for the system to be changed. It's really compelling.
I'm just confused as how this, because they have the ability to leave, like they're billionaires, they can live anywhere they want in the world, and unless globally a tax is put on them, how do we change that? Is there an answer to that question? Because that's always been the reason we don't tax them.
Well, I mean, no, I don't think Gary covers that one, but I'm sure he would have a better answer, hasn't he, Connor?
We'll have to get him on.
Well, let's invite him on, Shane Coleman. Yeah.
Gary, if you're listening. If you think
I think
hard
it's
enough.
A lovely idea, but the thing...
I take your point that, like, I mean, but this is a show made by a British economist for a British audience. So, you know, I mean, you can take that
as
it is.
It's also that we all love looking at the lives of billionaires and oligarchs, isn't it?
Yeah, this lets you do both. Look at the lives without feeling too guilty about it.
Okay.
All right.
Dave, for your next one, I'm going to hum it.
By the way, he's a huge... Little House on the Fairy. On the Fairy. Little House on the Prairie. Fan. Yeah. Not fairy. Fan. Yeah. Prairie
oh, fan. When I was on the breakfast show, I'd go home and watch it a lot. Yes. It was on TG Car. Oh, yeah. And I'd often watch it. And do you know what? It deals with some of the big... There was a brilliant episode that stuck my head on anti-Semitism. It was absolutely fantastic. Really good. So it's on... Sorry, it's coming to Netflix.
So Netflix have rebooted it. And I obviously went in... Now, I, as a certain vintage, remember the Sundays and the watching it and whenever on RTE back in the day. Mm. And... it was amazing, Michael Landon. But then, so this appeared, as the screen has appeared, and I was like, you're kidding me. Do I have to? I says, you know, I'm a professional. So I sat down and watched it. 8 episodes later. Okay, so two things.
Wow, you got sucked in.
Are they long, though? Are they short?
No, they're 42 minutes.
Oh, God, that's not 20. That's kind of
I'm
okay.
I'm all in. So the two things are. One is, in a world when Taylor Sheridan is ruling the Western route, so dark and gritty Westerns, you're kind of going... Who wants to watch a very wholesome, very wholesome. Let's call it No Jeopardy or Little Jeopardy type vibes? Like
Nelly plays
this,
that trick.
The TV series went a lot darker than the books. This has gone to actually more to the books, and it's very wholesome and very lovely, lovely, lovely. But I don't know,
someone nearly gets eaten by a wolf in the first episode.
Yeah, but it's...
If that's not Jeopardy, I don't know what it is.
But you're watching it going, it's not going to happen because there's so much, little Jeopardy. It's Little Heaven on the Prairie.
Okay, so, how does it compare to the original?
I thought the young Laura Ingalls, the actress who plays her, is fantastic. She's kind of the narrator. The parents are great. They're Crosby, Fitzgerald.
I know because I was there.
She's just there and she's got her little pigtails and they're just, you know, it's just beautiful to look at. And it's very hammy. They do a lot of singing. When they do the singing, I kind of, oh no, not with this.
Singing? Yeah. I don't remember singing in the first one.
They're all, well, in the prairie, everybody sings, and because the dad plays the fiddle, so it's all kicking off. But someone who was ready to give it all the kicking, I was like, oh, I'll just watch another one. And then I'm 8 episodes and I'm done. So,
Isn't there something about feel-good stuff, like the way we love Gilmore Girls or the Ted Lassos or the whatever? Is this in that genre?
Is this that same vibe? If you're earning, he's exhausting on the couch, if you just want something there to kind of pass
the
time.
You've had enough of the World Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll never happen. No,
maybe in the days that the World Cup isn't on, those 1 or 2 days, it's just kind of nice.
It is.
And sweet.
I have to say, I went in with a similarly kind of cynic's glasses on to begin with, because I thought, oh God, is this Netflix trying to kind of lean into the trad wife / cottagecore industry of it all? It couldn't be further from that. You know, the mother in it is portrayed, I think, really wholly, and you get a sense of her backstory. You get a sense of her unique struggle in the whole thing. And it certainly wouldn't have you signing up to be a trad wife by any means. Although I will say that
I was in very little danger of it anyway, to be honest. No.
Me neither, Kira. But they've cast for the father very smartly, because there's one point where the mother says, you know, my sister couldn't understand why I was following you into the wilderness. And you're sitting there on your comfortable couch kind of going,
I can understand.
Yeah. The husband. I did hear Nellie Olson, the actress who played Nellie Olson from the original series, interviewed recently. I kind of, for some reason, thought they'd all be dead, but they're absolutely far from it. And she was talking about this new series, and she was all for it, and she was very enthusiastic about it.
And her, like,
she's a very funny woman as well.
Actress actually makes a very brief cameo, I think, later in the series. But I think it was Megyn Kelly in the US had kind of tweeted or posted on X saying, you know, if you ruin my childhood, if you ruin this and make it overwoke. And the original actress who played Laura,
that would be the fear.
Well, the original actress who played Laura actually came back and said, similar to Dave's point, the original series was actually very woke for its time.
I think the original series was really ethical and decent, and its values were really kind of decent. It wasn't woke, I don't think.
I mean, some people might think that those two things aren't that far apart.
They can be sometimes.
Yeah, no, I know. I take your point. But
woke, I would always say, has a performative element to it that I'm not sure that normal ethics and decency have.
Sure, but I mean, but the original text is written from a very libertarian viewpoint, and then the TV series made it much more kind of friendship and neighbours.
It was wholesome.
It was very, very wholesome, for sure.
Very lastly and very briefly, Dee, what's your last one?
My last one is Summer 36, which is also on Netflix. It is basically, if you want to see the French doing Poirot for themselves, then this is it. It's set in Nice on the first weekend where the working class actually have, my God, I'm all about class war today, where the working class have their first summer holidays, paid summer holidays, which was in 1936. And obviously a murder goes down. A guy who used to be a former prosecutor in Nice has come back to town, and there's loads of intrigue.
This sounds great. I mean, I imagine it's set in really beautiful,
it's so beautiful to look at. Yeah. The costumes are
French
lush.
Language, presumably.
It is French language. The dubbing version is really, really not great.
When is the dubbing version ever
good? No, so I would recommend using the subtitles instead, which I always prefer anyway.
Do you know the great thing about subtitles? Because I'm watching the Danish version of The Killing at the moment, and you have to concentrate because you can't be on your phone because you don't know what the hell they're saying. So unless you're reading it, you're lost. So it actually stops the
Except
phone.
Except when they say, cup of coffee.
It's great for this.
It's the same in Danish as in English, it seems.
It's great for this as well, because one common criticism of it is that there's too many characters, too many storylines. So I actually find the subtitles helps with that, because it kind of gives you a recap.
Yeah. All right, guys. Listen, thank you both so much to both of you. Some really good picks this week. Delighted with those. That is Dee Ready, podcast and cultural commentator, and Dave O'Callaghan, host of the Here and Back Here and Back Again. Excuse me, Dave. Podcast.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.